everybody. It's Nick Bannock, and this is the Learn Paid Media Podcast. This is episode 5, and it's part 2 of the search structure series on paid search campaign structures. So I got a question from Joe in Brooklyn. Joe manages the online marketing and all marketing in general for a series of banks that are based out of Brooklyn, so they have multiple branches. He asked about digital campaigns, paid search, and how they relate to traditional media when it comes to the banking industry. And it was an interesting question because I think it does relate a lot to search structure. So I thought it would be a good place to start today answering his question. So what happens with Joe is that he'll run these campaigns and they'll run for 2 to 3 weeks and they won't get almost any new signups for the bank. And so then what will happen is as these campaigns are running, they're just trying to figure out why there's no new signups at any of the branches, why they're not getting a whole lot of activity online, why people aren't registering for new accounts. So then they'll set up a newspaper advertisement. And in that traditional media channel, right after they set it up, they'll get a flood of new signups. So it works like clockwork for them. And he was wondering if there's something where there might just be a disconnect for the consumer, or if there's something in the digital media campaigns that could be better to make it so that there are more people signing up that way. And so I started thinking about search structure. And I asked Joe in a response if he's tried store visit tracking. And he said he hasn't tried that yet, so this is where I wanted to start today. Google has a feature called store visit tracking, where when you're running campaigns and you have Google My Business connected to your Google Ads account, which you should always have Google My Business connected to your Google Ads account if you're trying to get local foot traffic and you want people to know where you are. So this is the perfect scenario for a bank that has multiple branches. If they're running online advertising, they're going to want Google My Business connected so that when someone goes and searches for local bank in my area, they get a map result with advertisements for the bank. And then they can see maybe there's a location that's only about a half mile in one direction and a quarter mile in another direction. So it gives the consumer a chance to see those, especially if they're doing searches from the maps. So anyway, store visit tracking allows you to connect your Google My Business account, and then it allows you to track when people interacted with your ad and then ended up coming into the location. So maybe they go open up their phone and they search for bank to open up checking account. And then the next thing that happens is right after they search for bank to open up checking account, they see the ad, they click on the ad on their phone, and then maybe they come in the next day or they come in an hour later or whatever the case is. Well, what Google will do is they'll actually track a store visit conversion that makes its way into AdWords, or Google Ads. It's not AdWords anymore. So in Google Ads, you'll see a store visit conversion. And then that is something that you can kind of create some custom columns around, so you can create some other ways of kind of pulling that in. You can maybe have a value for store visit conversions and things like that. There's different ways that you can use it, but it allows you to assess how much impact some of your campaigns are having. And it's especially helpful if you're running a lot of non-brand search and you want to see if it's driving foot traffic. So I've seen this used a lot for industries that rely heavily on foot traffic. So banks are a good example of this. Also, I've run these for urgent care clients and things in the medical space where you're really not looking for the people to interact too much online. They kind of click through. They maybe look a little bit about the information for the business. They maybe look up the contact page, and then they come in physically. So these are things that allow you to kind of track the success there. And I know Google has been trying to bridge that gap for a while. So it's always been tough because you previously had to rely on soft conversions like time on site, or they signed up for an email, or they, you know, went to the contact us page and things like that. But really, if somebody's looking for something local and they're going to come in physically, it was always difficult. So the store visit tracking is kind of the best scenario there. So I would say run store visit tracking, Joe. See how it does. It's not always available in every Google Ads account. You might have to reach out to Google about it. A lot of times you have to have more than one location. There's some rules around it. There's also a time lag. So when you run it, you might see that you don't have any store visit conversions for 2 to 3 days before they show up. It might even be 4 days at times. There's some lag that they put on it so that it's not so much of a one-to-one. You can see that the person directly clicked and then came in right after. They don't want you to be able to personally identify people based on their search behavior, so they give it a little bit of a reporting lag. Anyway, this is an important thing because it relates to search campaign structure in that you have to be thinking about all the devices when you're building out your campaigns. I didn't really mention this on the first part of this, but I'll mention it now. You want to make sure that you're thinking about all devices for the consumer when you build out your campaigns. So you always want to make sure that they're going to be able to interact with you on mobile, tablet, desktop. Your landing pages are going to be set up, responsive, and work really well with all devices. And if you know that you get a lower conversion rate on mobile or on desktop or something like that, you might want to have bid adjustments at the campaign and or ad group level when you're building out your campaigns. So keep in mind that there is always bid adjustments that are available to you that you can set up. Don't try to build out your campaigns where you're segmenting devices into different campaigns and things like that, because that just is a waste of time these days. You're going to find that people are going to search on mobile, they're going to search on desktop, they're going to search on tablet. You're not always going to have a simple conversion path for your business. A lot of times people are going to want to do some research on mobile at different times. Maybe they're on lunch at work, they're doing a little bit of research. Maybe they're sitting on their couch and they're using their mobile or tablet. There's always different ways that people are consuming these days, and Google does a good job of tracking across devices, but also you just find that it doesn't make sense as much anymore to segment them like it used to. A long time ago, consumers behaved a lot different on mobile. There wasn't as much purchases happening, things like that, but now people don't really give a shit, and they're going to use mobile, they're going to use tablet, they're going to use desktop to do what they want to do. So I just find that you have to keep these things all set up. You have to have all the devices set up, have a good landing page experience for all of them, and you want to make sure that your load time is good on all devices. So when it comes to your search structure, remember that you're going to be targeting all devices. I will say every once in a while there might be a use case to exclude a device completely or something like that. There are some times where in specific B2B verticals I've actually found that desktop is the best performer, and sometimes mobile brings in some garbage traffic for people looking for more consumer-facing products, but it just crosses over with some of our searches that we go after. So we just set a more aggressive bid adjustment on mobile and still keep some exposure on it, but we set a different criteria for the target CPA and things like that. That's all stuff to come later, but always think about your devices and your landing page experience on those devices when you're coming up with your search structure. I didn't really mention that on the last one. Another thing that you want to focus on when it comes to search structure is going to be audiences. So nowadays, you really want to have audiences on most of your campaigns, whether it's bid-only audiences. So this is where you have your remarketing audience, maybe some other audiences that you add in, and you look at these on a bid-only level. So you might just look and see, okay, I want to add in my all visitors audience and just see how it does. Or I want to add in some kind of similar audience or something like that. You might want to be able to see how the performance is. So you just add these in. You don't even put a bid adjustment on them. That'll give you some extra data to see how your audience is engaging. If they're coming back multiple times, later on, you can maybe even add a bid adjustment. This is also referred to as remarketing lists on search ads. But you're adding more than just remarketing lists these days. There's other audiences and demographics and things that are going into your search campaigns. So you want to make sure that you're keeping an eye on this performance over time. And then there's also an option where you're not just using bid only, you're also using target. When you have target, sometimes referred to as target and bid, on your audience, if you have your all visitors 3 days audience set up, well, what that's going to do when you have it on target and bid or on targeting, it's going to make it so that when the person does a search that you're bidding on for that keyword, you're going to serve an ad to them only if they're in that audience. So this can be a good thing for harder terms to go after. So maybe in your industry, there's a short tail term that gets a lot of volume. There's a lot of big players that are bidding on that. It's not very efficient for you on your CPA a lot of the time. So you find that you don't really bid on it as often when it comes to your general audiences, but you have a campaign for targeting that term for people who've been to your site before because they're more likely to buy. So I remember a while back I was running this where I had a client that was in the gifts business. So they did a lot of different types of gifts. And the thing was very, very specific stuff like personalized glassware or personalized gifts for groomsmen or stuff like that really worked well. But then when it came time for Mother's Day, bidding on the term Mother's Day gifts was not really going to work for us. But it worked when we targeted people who had been to our site before or people who had bought from us before, because now we were competing only for those people who knew our brand. So that is a very, very good use case for audiences and doing RLSA. So just keep in mind that you can do that. You can set these up so that you have all kinds of opportunity with these audiences. I want to take a little bit of time to come back to AdWords Editor, or Google Ads Editor as they call it now, from the last episode. It probably was a little bit confusing in part one when I was talking about the spreadsheets, what that looks like using Google AdWords Editor or Google Ads Editor, and trying to figure out how you're going to upload your campaigns, what's going to be next for you as you're kind of building these out. It can be a little bit confusing and intimidating at first. But the reality is, when you start using the Google Ads Editor, you're going to be able to visualize campaign builds in a way that you know is going to be much quicker than doing it through the interface. Trying to build out a whole account through the Google Ads interface is a nightmare. I don't even know anyone that actually does that. Every once in a while, I might build and launch a very simple campaign through there, like a YouTube campaign, where I'm just targeting like one audience for an ad group, but then I'll still make edits and do more inside Google Ads Editor. Or I might build a display remarketing campaign and build one ad group inside the Google Ads interface. Then I'll open up Google Ads Editor, download the campaign, and then start expanding it. You'll find that you can just do a lot more. You can scale your accounts much more quickly when you're using Google Ads Editor. And the same goes for Bing Ads Editor. You can even import from Google into your Bing Ads Editor and do work that way before importing directly into the Bing Ads interface and then downloading it into Bing Ads Editor. It kind of connects it to the Bing Ads interface and the editor at the same time, and then it allows you to do work in there before you kind of post all the things live. So it's really, really helpful to use the editors, and you'll find that the spreadsheets become a lot easier to visualize when you start working within the editor. So what you can do to kind of learn what columns you're going to need for your spreadsheets, you can actually go into the Google Ads Editor, you can download your account, and then just go into one of your keyword sections in one of your campaigns, copy the whole thing, and then just paste it into a spreadsheet. You can use a lot of the same hotkeys that you would use for any sort of Microsoft product. So you can do, you know, Control A to select all, and then Control C to copy, and then open up Microsoft Excel and hit Control V to paste it. You can use whatever Google Docs if you want to use Google Docs, but Excel is just faster and a lot easier in my opinion. So a lot of times I work out of Excel. Google Docs is great for sharing, but I'll use Microsoft Excel to build out all of my campaigns and just make my work a lot easier. So anyway, as you're working through it, go into the Google Ads Editor and play around a little bit with copying and pasting, and you'll see what comes out of it. And then what you can do, you can go to repaste something in there to see kind of what columns are going to be necessary, and that'll help you narrow this down. So when you copy your keywords, you're going to end up pasting it, and you're going to end up with a bunch of unnecessary columns. But you'll see when you go to re-import changes inside the Google Ads Editor, it'll ask you, it'll show you what the column headers are going to be, and you can see which ones are necessary, which ones aren't. You can do the same thing for your ads. So just go through and check all that stuff out, and then you can also go online and find some resources for this, but just try to make it practical as you go through. What you don't want to do is build out your account structure in a way that is so simple that you don't even have to learn the Google Ads Editor because you've just decided that you're going to just make it as simple as you possibly can. If you do that, you're probably leaving a lot of potential good performance on the table. So just look out for that. There's a balance here. You don't want to oversimplify it. You also don't want to go ridiculous and build out a bunch of skags and do something like that because you're just going to waste a bunch of your fucking time. So what you need to do next is just test out the software and learn the tools. And it'll take a little bit of time. you might get frustrated for a second. You might start to say, you know what, this is taking too long to learn. I already know a different way that I'm more comfortable with. I'm going to go with that. But I encourage you to just stick with it and just work through the frustration, because once you get good at using the editors, you're just never going to look back. And this is something that comes up a lot for me, because I have people ask me on a regular basis, oh, do you use any of this campaign management software or any of this automation, whatever? Look, I used a bunch of stuff throughout my career. I used Kenshu, I used Marin, I used DoubleClick. I've tested out some other tools and had demos of other ones. And the thing is, most of the time, the reason people are asking that stuff is because they haven't taken the time to learn an approach that works with the tools that are already out there for free, like Google Ads Editor. And if you get used to using something like Kenshu or one of the other tools, you might just be comfortable with that. But the reality is, like, Kenshu, their editor is garbage, and then working off their bulk sheets is just annoying, honestly. And it was the same thing with DoubleClick. The bulk sheets were annoying. The Marin, the bulk sheets were annoying. The editor tools that a lot of these ones have are kind of ridiculous. And they try to make it simple for your workflow, but you're just going to do better working within the platforms. You're going to be ready for the changes as they come out. You're just going to be way ahead of the game. I actually had times in the past when I was working at an agency and we had Kenshu or Marin, and we would literally not launch certain campaign types because there wasn't support from the platform. And we would have to, some of the managers would go and just build them out inside Google anyway, and then you'd have to do this backwards way of tracking results and shit like that. And it honestly hurt the clients overall sometimes, because people would be hesitant to launch new technologies just because there wasn't platform support. So learn the tools and structure your campaigns accordingly, and you'll do well. I'm going to keep this one a little bit short today. I realized as I started going to search structure that it would be easy for me to start going into too much things like ad extensions and ad copy strategies and then other things like that, getting into the mind of the psychology of search and understanding why people are searching the way that they do, what keywords you should choose based on different buying strategies and stuff like that. But those are all topics that we should spend separate episodes on. This one was really meant to be about search structure. So I'm going to keep part two a little bit short, and I'll probably come back to more advanced search structure at a later date. But I want to spend some time going over other things that are happening in the industry. I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not going to make a bunch of episodes on just search right now, because there's a lot of things happening on the paid social side that need to be discussed. So on the next episode, I'm going to cover some of the paid social channels, and I'm going to start with some information about Facebook ads. And then I have some episodes coming up on Pinterest ads as well, because I just think that there's a lot of really cool stuff going on over there. I'm seeing a lot of success with some of the new campaign types that they have. So I'll be coming up with those pretty soon. Please write a review, share it with some of your colleagues, some of your friends, and see if you can get them interested. And then I'm happy to see that some questions are coming in and some comments. So thank you for writing me the reviews that you already have. Thank you for sending in questions. And I'll keep answering questions as they come in. And eventually, you know, like I said before, if I get a lot of questions all at once, I'll probably do a full episode just talking about those. And I might even just do a bonus episode here and there going through some of that stuff. So look out for those. And I'll talk to you soon.